Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to another edition of Ask the Experts. Today's guest is Crystal Bertner, Senior Compliance Specialist. Welcome to the podcast, Crystal.
Thanks, Shelley. It's great to be here.
Crystal, let's get started with our first question, and it is regarding PCORI compliance. We have a group that went from fully insured to level funded in 2024. If they just started the level funded coverage on July 1st of 2024 and it ended June 30th of 2025, then their first PCORI report isn't really due until July of 2026. Is that right?
That's correct. So PCORI must be filed and paid for by July 31st of the calendar year immediately following the last day of the plan year. If the plan year ended on June 30th of 2025, the PCORI would be due on July 31st of 2026. The employer will want to request the report from the carrier next year around the early to mid-June timeframe that shows the average number of participants, and the employer will then use that to fill out and file the IRS Form 720 and pay the PCORI fee by July 31st, 2026.
So to continue with the PCORI questions, it's my understanding that PCORI is only for level funded groups. In this instance, the group is fully insured. Do groups that offer HRAs, health reimbursement arrangements, also have to pay PCORI?
Yeah, so PCORI applies to self-insured plans, including level funded, as well as HRA plans. If the medical plan is fully insured, the carrier will pay for the health insurance portion. If the employer also offers a self-insured HRA to the employees with the fully insured medical plan, the employer will need to pay the PCORI fee on the HRA portion only. Keep in mind that when calculating the PCORI fee for the HRA, only the lives of employees are counted.
I have a broker asking about PCORI requirements. They have a group who was with Humana from April of 2023 through March of 2024, and then they had United Healthcare from April 2024 to March of 2025. Which plan year are they supposed to be filing for in July of 2025?
Yeah, so the PCORI fee that is due coming up the end of this month on July 31st is for the plan year that ended in 2024. For this group with an April 1st to March 31st plan year, this means the filing in July 2025 will cover the Humana plan that ran from April 1st of 2023 to March 31st of 2024. The IRS uses the plan year end date to determine which reporting period applies. So since the Humana plan year ended March 31st, 2024, it falls under the 2024 filing cycle, even though payment is made in 2025. And then for reference, the next filing that is due July 2026 will apply for their United Healthcare plan that ran from April 1st, 2024 to March 31st, 2025.
We have a group with a union population, and they are asking if they need to issue a 1095 for the employees that are union and also covered by the union benefits.
The short answer here is yes. Even if the union is the one providing the health coverage, these employees are considered employees of said employer if they are on this employer's payroll and under that employer's direction. For ACA purposes, you would still count them toward the 50 full-time employee threshold if they meet the ACA definition of full-time, regardless of who provides them with their benefits. And yes, the employer will want to ensure that they include them in the 1094 reporting and issue a 1095 form to each union employee as well.
Do ALEs, applicable large employers, need to file anything with the IRS besides the 1094C and the 1095C? Is there anything that they need to file regarding premiums paid to make sure that employees are not paying more than the 9.02% of their household income.
ALEs are only required to file forms 1094C and 1095C with the IRS to comply with the ACA employer mandate. There is no separate filing specifically related to the affordability threshold. However, affordability details are reported on the 1095C using one of the safe harbors chosen by the employer, whether that be W-2, rate of pay, or federal poverty level, and then completing line 16 accordingly.
My next question for you, if there are three commonly owned small groups and each group is less than 20, but more than 20 employees combined that are not eligible to file their taxes together, but are part of a controlled group situation, they are COBRA eligible. Does that also mean that the group plan is primary or is Medicare primary?
If the three entities are considered part of a controlled group, they are combined to determine if they must comply with COBRA. If collectively they have 20 or more employees, then yes, they would all be subject to COBRA. Regarding the Medicare secondary payer rules, common control is a bit different. 51% common ownership is the threshold used to determine if the entities are treated as a single employer. If they do meet this threshold and have more than 20 employees collectively, then the group health plan is primary and Medicare is secondary. If they do not meet the 51% threshold, each entity is looked at individually for MSP purposes. And then just one last point here, keep in mind that employers should consult with their CPA or legal counsel for common ownership determination.
Crystal, can an employer set up different new hire waiting periods to enter benefits based on bona fide classes? As an example, can management be eligible to start medical on the date of hire and other employees be required to wait until the first of the month following 60 days?
In short, employers can set up different waiting periods for bona fide employee classes. The classes must be based on legitimate job-based distinctions and then applied consistently. It is important to keep in mind that offering more favorable waiting periods to certain groups, such as management, may be a non-discrimination issue under Section 125 and Section 105H for self-insured plans. If these tests are failed, it could result in tax consequences for the highly compensated or key employees. The employer will want to make sure that they're having the annual non-discrimination testing conducted by the vendor that they have their Section 125 plan with to ensure that there are no issues here.
Our company had 130 employees enrolled in our medical plan as of January 1, 2024, and our plan year runs from January to December. Do we need to file the Form 5500 that is due on July 31st? And if so, what happens if we miss that deadline?
Yeah, so because your benefit plan had 100 or more participants on the first day of the plan year, yes, you would need to file the Form 5500. Since your plan year ended on December 31st, 2024, your Form 5500 is due by July 31st, 2025, which is 7 months after the plan year ends. Now, if for some reason you are unable to file by the July 31st deadline, you can file for an automatic 2.5-month extension, moving your due date to October 15th of 2025. You will want to make sure that you file this extension by July 31st, but if you don't meet the July deadline and don't file for an extension, that can result in penalties.
And my last question for you today, is an employer obligated to offer the HRA reimbursement for an employee that goes on state continuation?
State continuation applies specifically to fully insured group health plans. HRAs are self-funded and therefore fall outside the scope of the state continuation law.
Thank you, Crystal. We hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your account manager or salesperson. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional.